Thanks for tuning in to the Glossy Podcast. I'm your host, Jill Manoff, and today at eTail West, we're live on the scene. I'm sitting down with Katie Reeves, Managing Director of H&M Group's COS brand in North America. As 17-year-old COS has a reputation for quality and timeless clothing, I wanted to ask Katie about the business impact of the quiet luxury trend. I'm also interested in Katie's career path, which brought her back to H&M Group after 10 years in 2021. What opportunity did she see at COS? Welcome, Katie.
Thank you so much, Jill. It is such a pleasure. I'm such a fan of the Glossy Podcast. I've been an avid listener for years. I actually think since maybe 2017, 18.
Stop!
So this is such a pleasure.
I'm so happy to have you. Equally a fan of COS. We were saying my favorite shopping district in New York. It's right there. I know where to go. I'm
exactly,
there.
Exactly.
So talk to me. Back at H&M Group after 10 years,
yes.
You were around between that time. You were various jobs in merchandising, brand management. Tell me, COS brought you back, yes?
Yes, yes.
Talk me through your trajectory.
Of course. So this is my second chapter at the group, and I started my career actually at the H&M brand in 2003, which is aging me slightly. But I'm actually a trained merchant. I went to school for fashion merchandising, which I'm the anomaly. I actually studied what I wanted to do and loved to do.
You knew ahead of time. Exactly. We were all young and stupid, but go ahead.
Exactly. And then I went on to do that. So my first chapter was spent at the H&M brand, and I mostly spent it in merchandising. And then it was an incredible time, actually. The brand, the H&M brand, had only just entered the States in 2000. So it had only been in the landscape for 3 years. So there was exponential growth and potential, and I loved every second. I also formed amazing mentorships during that time.
Oh, yeah.
As well as I had the amazing opportunity, and I'm both grateful and humble for this, to work alongside and under many different visionaries, industry visionaries, during that time. However, which I think is actually a testament to the culture and also to the company, really.
Yeah.
However, my innate curiosity got the better of me, and so I left.
Yes.
And I, to your point, dabbled in many different roles and experiences. I spent most of my time actually at private equity-backed brand management environments,
yep,
which was the perfect training ground, really, for me to understand complex business models, unique business, yes, models, and also the breadth and depth of businesses.
Yep.
Which I ultimately take away from that I loved the most, brand building and really driving results and tangible results.
Yes.
And so when the opportunity came to come back to the group, it was almost this perfect intersection between my love for fashion and now my sort of new claimed skills for breadth of businesses, and of course, at a company and culture that I loved. So how could I really say no? And that was 3 years ago. I also think the COS brand itself has an amazing DNA, and I was really excited to harness that and really introduce the COS brand to so many more consumers within the North America landscape.
Yes, they should know what's up. Let's talk about that consumer because it's such a distinct look. It's quality. It has a luxury vibe, just like I said. Who is the customer? Totally different. I don't know. Is it totally different from H&M? You tell me.
Yeah. So the COS customer is actually united by style, cultural curiosity, and a commitment to a conscious lifestyle. A true community of dedicated individuals. They're typically professionals. They work or dabble in creative fields. They reside in metropolitan cities, we find. They do appreciate trends. However, they're not defined by those trends.
Yeah.
They are much more of an individualistic approach, and they seek modern and a timeless wardrobe. And that really takes them from day to night, but quality and craftsmanship is really always at the heart.
Yeah.
Their wardrobe is also a collection of pieces that they wear and come back to forever, now and forever. And what I love about the COS customer is I really see that it transcends age. When I'm in our stores, I see all age groups, nice, shopping COS, and I love to see mothers shopping with their daughters at our brand.
So fun. I know you have a men's business. Has the men's business been a part of the business for a long time?
Of course. Yeah, yes. We launched with men. So it's men and women, and we offer fashion apparel and footwear.
Okay, great. You were talking about kind of the cosmopolitan shopper. and I think of your stores being on the coast. Tell me, first of all, we're both from St. Louis. I don't see one there.
I know. Someday. I can't believe we're both from St. Louis. I love that connection.
The best. What brought us here to Palm Springs? No. But tell me about the power of the store, the role of the store. How important is that?
Yeah. So the role of the store is so important, and it's ever evolving. The way that I see it is there's kind of three main focuses right now and prongs of the role of the store. Yeah. One is experience, especially in a post-pandemic world. The customer is really looking for those experiences, that yes. deep, engaging relationship and building that pathway. So I think experience is so, so important now to the role of the store. We've actually, as a brand, focused a lot on experiences in our store. I'm actually right. speaking later today.
At the store?
No, I'm speaking here at ETL.
Oh, yes.
And about our smart store technology, which is really helping to improve and revolutionize the customer experience in our stores. The second prong, I would say, is community. So
yes.
we really try to embed the community with which our stores are in and infuse that into our store. So I think a good example of that is in Mexico City,
where
cool. we just opened a store.
Congrats.
We just entered into the Mexico market. We're located in Mexico City in Polanco, the Polanco neighborhood at the Antara Center. And there we've actually integrated artwork that an amazing female artisan and enterprise had custom created for us. Her name is Carl Larga.
Amazing.
And that artwork is embedded throughout our entire store. So again, really harnessing that community within our stores. And then I think the third prong of the store evolution is convenience, which everyone is talking about. But for us, to your point, we do have stores on the coast and within. We have a store in Houston and Atlanta. But we also have an amazing online store, which is open yes. 24 hours a day. And so at the end of the day, the store evolution is also about convenience, where we do offer all of the conveniences that you would want to be able to return your online order
yes.
or to potentially find, you know, your size in another store or in our online shop. So I think convenience is that last third prong of the evolution.
Totally. Tell me about this technology in store. What's happening?
Yes. So I'm speaking all about it this afternoon, but
Teaser.
It's actually our mission as a group to invest in cutting edge technology. And we were a pilot for the group with
Amazing.
This technology. We call it the smart store technology. And it has really two prongs to it. So prong number one is the RFID readers, which we've installed in all of our US stores.
Great.
And the second prong is our store associate app, which essentially the RFID readers are pinging data and insights every 5 seconds. And then we're harnessing that data and visualizing it in this app for our teams to ultimately service you.
Yes.
While you're in our store. And you can, I mean, there's many facets that you can imagine that we're doing within that app, but it can be anywhere from stock availability in store down the street or stock availability online,
nice.
where it is in our store. We have heat maps, which is actually, I know, it's actually like alerting our teams if it's in the back stock, back of house, we call it, or if it's near the cash register. So the ease and convenience
with it.
Does it go
ding, when you're getting closer?
No ding, ding, dings. But it really is an amazing tool for our teams. And it's really revolutionized the operations in our stores. And ultimately, the underlying purpose of that is to be able to spend more time building those relationships, as well as being able to service the customer in a frictionless way.
For sure. I mean, we did not plan to talk about this, but you guys are so advanced in terms of the technology front, sustainability as well.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that kind of a pillar of the brand, would you say? I don't think of it as the first thing, but I also know that that's, I mean, part of quality clothing, first of all.
Yeah, of course. I mean, as a group, we actually have publicly announced what our goals are to sustainability, and we are very focused on this initiative. And actually, 95% of our materials are all from sustainably sourced materials. So yeah, nice. It's amazing.
Nice. Talk to me about e-commerce and I guess advancements or the expectations of the customer. What's happening there? The new standards as in your customer's eyes?
Yeah, no, good question. I mean, I think that aren't all shoppers now sort of omni if they're given the opportunity? Yes. So what I think is our competitive advantage is that we have both e-commerce and we, of course, have our stores. Yes. I'm actually a working mom and I think we can both appreciate that I even shop omni.
Yes.
If I'm given the opportunity for groceries.
Yes.
So we believe that both of these channels are strengthening each other. And at the end of the day, it's about convenience and an inspiring experience for the customer. I think when it comes to our e-commerce, you know, we're really, I believe, at the forefront of utilizing these technology investments to enhance both the e-com experience and, of course, the shopping experience. And we're investing to intentionally incentivize the customer's shopping behaviors to be, I know you asked about e-com, but to be omni.
Yes.
And what I think is so great about that is that we can utilize our capabilities with our supply chain to service the customer in both ways. And we've been able to identify from a demand perspective, an online demand perspective, where we see potential and where we have beloved customers in e-commerce that could potentially inspire us to open stores there. And so we actually had a beloved customer in a small community within Brooklyn. You lived in New York for a long time.
Right on.
So we were able to just open a brand new store in Williamsburg based on some insights that might suggest that we should. And so we're really excited. We just opened the store in November. We're really excited to see how that will develop.
Amazing. Let's talk about where I hear a lot of store openings from you guys. Is this like a moment of growth? I think that I just read in the news on Google News that there was an American Dream store as well. That's Jersey. Are you guys growing?
So COS is an expanding and growing brand. And we opened our new store in Mexico City, which I had mentioned in August. We opened our new store in Williamsburg in November, and then our latest store in American Dream in
exciting.
December. So who knows what is on the horizon for us? We, of course, don't have any announcements to make today, but it will be exciting to see where and what the potential could be.
Yes, and you're going where your shopper is. That makes really good sense. For sure. Tell me about your marketing in the U.S. I know September, you guys had a great fashion show as part of New York Fashion Week, which that's a marketing moment. But what's working now to acquire customers to get the brand out there?
Yeah. So from a marketing perspective, we, as you know, have shown at New York Fashion Week for the last 2 years, which is so exciting. We have
awesome.
Two monumental campaigns each year, our spring summer campaign and then our fall winter campaign. And we've shown at New York Fashion Week and have been actually on the CFDA schedule, which is really exciting. We actually, prior to that, showed in London, actually at London Fashion Week as well. So we do have our runway shows, which kind of anchor our marketing efforts. But we also have really focused on varied marketing tactics. And we believe that it's important to test and innovate and see what's working to acquire new customers and or to build brand awareness. And so we have a varied approach, upper funnel and lower funnel. And it's really exciting to see how this is resonating with the customer and to continue on those efforts. One particular effort that we actually tested last year was direct mail. There's been a little bit of a resurgence. And
what's old is new.
Exactly, in the Americas regarding direct mail. And we actually dropped our first direct mail in fall, perfectly timed with our fashion show and our fall campaign. And it was really, really exciting to see that come to life and to actually receive it in our in all of our team's mailboxes and especially all of our potential new customers' mailboxes.
Yes, it went to current customers, potential customers. And yeah, what was the success you saw? Was there a drive to store? Was there a discount? Was there anything? It was just beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, our focus really with it was to expose our amazing collections to the customer. So it really was not focused on promotions or discounts, but we were really excited to continue to explore that as a tactic and to see what might be in store for the future.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. So tell me about marketing. You mentioned your spring campaign, your fall campaign. I recently creeped on your spring campaign, and I know that it features some fabulous British actors, actresses. Is there a localized approach? Is that needed? I know you do local in stores, but maybe that global campaign resonates.
Absolutely. COS is about connecting with our community of diverse creatives, and we welcome people of all ages and backgrounds to experience COS, and this is reflected in our campaigns. What is exciting, we believe, is that we're inviting everyone interested in fashion to join our community. And that ties back to, our ambitions to democratize luxury fashion, making it accessible for all. And I believe that those global campaigns really do translate throughout the world and are really inspiring to all customers.
I love that democratization of luxury. What would you say are the standards of the luxury shopper? It's not about price point. Like, what is it about?
It's a good question. I'm of course, from a luxury, I can't speak to, the luxury business per se. But I'm, from my point of view, I know it's about quality and craftsmanship. And we really harness that within COS's collection as well. And it's important for us to then tie that back to collections that can be worn now and forever.
Yeah.
Tying back to our sustainability efforts.
Yeah.
So I think it really is about having something that and a piece that you will love and have forever. And
right,
I believe that perhaps is also what the luxury customer is looking for.
Yes, for sure. How has your customer behavior changed since the pandemic? Maybe a move to Omni, maybe more comfort level with shopping online. You tell me.
It's a good question. I think that naturally in the pandemic, the online businesses surged overnight and no one really knew what would happen in a post-pandemic world. But what I've been saying, and then the Business of Fashion actually just came out with an article yesterday, I think, I have been saying that there is a little bit of a store renaissance. Now I have to change my tune and I need to come up with a different title since that article came out. But I think there is a store renaissance happening, particularly because the customer, going back to those deep relationships and building that pathway with our customers and also with you and them wanting that from our teams, they have been wanting those experiences in store. And, do I think that it's singular? Absolutely not. It's 100% omni, tying back to what we talked about previously with the omni customer. But I do believe that we have the competitive advantage since we have both. We have stores and we have online. So
yep.
I think that's the behavior has changed a little bit in that way. We also see that the behavior has changed in the sense that the customer is coming to us in our stores and showing us what they see either in marketing or in our email newsletters or our SMS marketing tactic and asking exactly where can I find that?
Awesome.
So, which is also illustrating to us that Omni shopper is coming to us for both for store experiences as well as engaging with us digitally and also on our site.
That makes good sense. Our collaboration is a big part of your marketing, merchandising strategy. I just saw a really cute one with sunglasses. And is it Linda Farrow?
Yes, we just actually launched our second drop with Linda Farrow, which was a follow-up to our drop last year. And we like to surprise and delight our customers with new innovative collections. So that is a good example of a collaboration, which we believe is interesting and exciting for the customer.
Right on. Can we expect more this year? TBD.
Yeah, TBD. I can't speak to that, but you never know what is in store. And it just keeps you coming back for more so that you can check out both our stores and online all the time to see what's coming.
Totally. I noticed you have unique Instagrams for the Japanese market and the Australia market, not for US.
No, we don't. We actually focus on our global costs. Instagram account, and actually it's an amazing outlet for the Americas as well.
Yes, it resonates with me. What's challenging you now?
What's challenging me now? It's a good question. I mean, I think that one, the world is changing every day. Man. I always say that change is the only constant, actually. So I think essentially just learning, testing new ways of working, continuing to innovate. You know, what is the next latest, greatest technology? Tying back to what I had mentioned earlier, I'm speaking about technology today, but it's moving so fast.
Yes.
So when you ask what's challenging you now, we don't know what's next.
Yes.
So I think that it's just important to continue to stay abreast what's happening in the industry and the trends, and see what's in store for the retail landscape as well as for costs.
Yes. Is part of the conversation today in your session about AI?
It's actually not about AI.
I'm surprised.
But someone else asked me that earlier today. And AI is the talk of the town, right?
Yes.
So I'm quite curious while I'm here to understand how that translates to different domains, how that's applicable, and how it, you know, will continue to evolve over time. It's to me, it's unclear, but it's really exciting.
Agree.
And I can't wait to see.
Agree. What else can we expect this year? We can't talk about collaborations, but maybe some other exciting things.
There's always exciting things happening at COS. I think, I mean, as I mentioned, we had our three new store openings, which is really exciting. And expanding into Mexico was a really pivotal moment for the Americas, which is really, really exciting. We actually had just even made the group's earnings for our latest market. So really, really exciting. I hope that we will continue to meet new customers and attract new customers every day.
Yep.
As you know, that COS is, or what I believe, is an inspiring, exciting brand. And so it's really a matter of introducing our brand to more customers.
Yes. Do you have a large team in the States? And for those who don't know, managing director, you are overseeing a lot. Just break down your role really quick.
Of course. So I oversee the strategic vision for North America in the region, which is comprising of the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. And that consists, of course, of physical retail, which we've spoken about, as well as e-commerce and expansion. And I have full P&L responsibility. Which, it's so exciting though.
Yeah.
And I honestly love the breadth of businesses. So for me and someone who's super curious, it's always exciting and there's always something to learn and to focus on. But my role is both sort of strategic and actually also quite operational. Yeah. You know, I like to always say that it's roll your sleeves up and dig into the business, and then also think about, you know, the long-term future and long-range plans, which could span up to 10 years. So it's pretty high and it's pretty low and super exciting.
Yes. Well, y'all, we have Katie's wearing COS.
Of course.
Looking like chic. Yes. I mean, if this
I have
is what
to get
we
you
could,
one.
I would love this. Don't tease a girl. Oh my gosh, Katie, this was so fantastic. Anything to add on costs at the moment, heading into the spring?
No, I would just say thank you so much for having me.
Yes.
It's been such a pleasure, and I'm really excited for the rest of this year, and I'm really excited for our spring campaign to come out in 2 weeks. I have my eye on some additional tailoring sets, so I can't wait for the customer to see it and also for you to see it.
I can't wait either. Katie, thank you so much for being here. This is a blast.
Thank you so much.
That's all for this episode. Our theme music is by Otis McDonald. If you liked this episode, be sure to share it with someone else you think would. Thanks for listening to The Glossy Podcast.